few minutes left. I got a call from Matthew Walfogle, Brother Matthew, the other day. He calls me Uncle Ken. Uncle Ken, do you know this name? What was her name? Olga Freitag. Do you know Olga Freitag, Brother Paul?
I don't.
Does Freitag mean Friday?
Yes.
That's the day we buried her, Friday. She died, and the neighbors who had taken an interest in her and sort of adopted her into their family over the years, she spoke about the Ridgewood Church, about Brother Walfogle, and they said, we're Roman Catholic, but we want to have a funeral with her religion. And so they called the Ridgewood Church, and so Matthew Walfogle asked around, and nobody remembered or heard of Olga Freitag. And so he thought, well, maybe I did. I've been working in the Ridgewood Church years ago. And then I found out that she lived in Greenpoint. So I thought, well, that's right next to Williamsburg. So maybe that's the Walfogle. So I called Brother Phil Walfogle. Disturbed him on his vacation. I didn't realize he was away. And I sent a picture of her that I got off of the funeral website. Yeah, I recognized her right away. She came to the church a few times over the years. She wasn't regular, but she came. And one time she donated a case of Bibles to the church to be, you know, handed out to whoever needed them. And so there was a little connection there. Well, Phil was too far away to do the funeral. And Matthew said, I don't want you to feel obligated, but I just felt in my heart I should, they're reaching out. It's an opportunity to share the gospel. And so I said, sure, I'll take it. So I called the family, and they were so happy. Oh, I called so many people, priests, everybody. And so I offered to help. So I got there. Now, I didn't know this woman from Eve. And that's not the first time I've had funerals for people I've never met. But at least I had something to go on. They said, you know, they asked me, what's the difference between Catholic and Protestant? And so I told them a little bit about how we see things a little bit differently. I said, but the most important thing is that we put our trust in Jesus as our Savior. There are Catholic people that do that, and there are Protestant people that do that. And that's what makes the Church of Jesus Christ, the followers of Jesus. She said, yeah, that's all Olga talked about, Jesus and God, Jesus and God. Mm-hmm. So the more I talked to them, the more I had a sense that she was a genuine born-again believer. So I turned in my Bible to Psalm chapter 19, and maybe you'd like to do that with me. Now, this is not a funeral service, but Psalm 19 is good for any time. And, you know, when you come to Pilgrim Camp, one of the joys of being here is just being in the midst of God's beautiful creation. I live in Brooklyn. That's God's creation too, but boy, man has done a number on it. We were on 4th of July. We had to get out of the house because people were blasting music all day long. Behind our house, a few houses down, they have a nightclub of some sort. And during the summer, they play music. And the music isn't as much of a problem as the DJ, who just screams into the microphone constantly. I don't know exactly what joy people get out of this. So Lily said to me, we got to get out of here. I can't take much more of this. Let's just go somewhere. So we decided, go to some peaceful place. So we got in the car, and we hadn't eaten yet, so we said, well, let's go to Wendy's, grab something, we'll take it with us, and find a nice quiet place where we can eat. So I'm waiting in the car while my wife and two daughters are in Wendy's, and as I'm sitting in the car, I see like 10 young men come into the parking lot, and they're heading into Wendy's, and they've got masks over their faces. So I said, I better go see what's happening, right? I know this is going to... But as soon as I opened the door, Lily came running out, Bethany and Natalie, and they said these guys came in and they took like an M80 and just threw it right by our feet. And it was right by Lily's feet, by the counter. And Bethany yelled, "Mom, run!" And so Lily ran, and this thing blew up, and multiple explosions, light flashing all over, and customers just cleared out. I never got my hamburger. I went back into Wendy's because Lily couldn't find her phone, and the place was just filled with smoke, and there were fries all over the floor and shakes. And anyway, it really, really shook them up. That this was our quiet evening, getting away from the loud music, right? So, anyway, God's beautiful creation, and then man gets hold of it, and it's not so beautiful anymore. But Pilgrim Camp, Bryant Lake, is still as beautiful as I ever remember it. You know, when I remember coming up here as a little boy, when the counter to the boathouse store was way up here, and when Watch Rock was like a cliff, you know, and when I looked out the window of my cabin and it looked like it was 20 feet down. And then I hadn't come for years, and then I came again when I was a teenager, and camp looked exactly the same to me, except it shrunk. I remember the boathouse looked the same, but now the counter was here. And Watch Rock wasn't as big as I thought it was. And there have been some changes on the campgrounds over the years, wonderful improvements, I think we'd all agree. But the lake is always the same. It's never changed. Same shape, same water. So one reason we'd love to get out of the city and come to Pilgrim Camp is we just love to be surrounded by God's beautiful creation. You can look up at the sky at night and see stars. I said, "What are those little dots there?" "No, those are stars, Dad." You don't see them in the city, but they're there. So that's what the Bible says here. The heavens declare the glory of God. When you look around, you see what God has created, and you see how glorious He is. We learn things about God. We understand things about God through His creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. He made all this. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. God's talking to us. He's trying to reveal Himself to us through His creation. During the day and during the night, there's beauty. There's something beautiful about the day and the sunshine and what takes place in the day and what we can see of God's handiwork. And then at night, we see the stars, there's a beauty about that, too. Somebody said, "What's more beautiful, the sunrise or the sunset?" Well, you really can't tell. They're equally beautiful, and never, no two the same. I marvel at that. That's one thing that I enjoy, even in the city. You see the sunset, the colors, the bright pink, or today it's yellow, captivating. Or the sunrise, if you get up early enough to see that. And so God is trying to make people to awaken to the fact that He has created all these things. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Yep. God's speaking to the Chinese, and He's speaking to the Hispanics, and He's speaking to the African Americans, and all over the world, Caucasians. God is speaking in no matter what language they speak, no matter where they are in the world. God is reaching out to them through creation. And then He talks about the sun here, and the beauty of the sun. It's like a strong man running a race, and it runs its circuit, just like when runners have to run around the track. They start one place, they end, and they go around and around again, and he likens the sun to that. And he says, there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. And so God is revealing Himself to us through creation. Now, that's why there's people worship God all over the world, throughout the centuries, every culture. They see that there must be a God when they look around them, when they see the intricacies of creation. What can we learn about God through creation? Well, we learned, first of all, that he is a tremendous God who made the mountains, who made the stars, who made this tremendous sun that heats the whole earth, the oceans and the waves. We realize he's a powerful, tremendous God. You think of the storms and the earthquakes and so on. And we also see that he's a God of beauty, isn't he? That he's a God that is so creative in his design. You look at the trees, you look at the flowers, you look at the variety. You know, there are flowers that I've never seen and fragrances that I've never smelled. All over the world, God has just manifested his great beauty and variety. When you think of the intricacies of the human body, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Some people are more fearfully made than wonderfully made, but either way, it's God's doing. And, you know, scientists are still discovering, you know, uncovering the wonder of God's creation. And so people worship God. They believe in a God, and they worship him all over the world. But everybody has a different understanding of who this God is. Some people believe there's a God of the sun, and there's a God of the moon, and there's a God of the water, and so on. So then God revealed himself through his word to his people. He called Abraham, he called Moses, and he sent his word to Moses and made it clearer that there's only one God that created heaven and earth, not many gods. And this God is a holy God. He's righteous and he's holy and he's just. And he gave them laws that reflect who he is and how they are to approach him. He talks about how sin has to be dealt with and sacrifices have to be offered to approach this holy God, to come into his presence. And so through the word of God, we understand more clearly what God is like and who he is, and we understand his laws and his ways more perfectly. And that's what it says here: the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right and rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord, this holy respect for God, is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey or the honeycomb. Here he's talking about the treasure that we have in the word of God, such as they had in those days. Of course, the New Testament wasn't written yet, and there was much that God was yet to reveal about himself. But what they had of the Old Testament scriptures and the law of Moses was enough to help us to come into a richer understanding of how glorious this God is that we serve. The heathen, their gods, they had this concept of their gods as being evil. And they were always frightened of their gods and always trying to appease them and keep their gods from harming them. They'd sacrifice their children to appease these gods. But the God of the Jews, the God that revealed himself through his word, he revealed himself as a God of love, a God that cared for these people, a God that wanted what was best for them in every area of their life. A God that said, you don't sacrifice your children, you can sacrifice an animal, and that animal will cover, the blood of that animal will cover your sin until the promised Redeemer comes. And so he says here, your word is so precious to us. We become wise. Our lives are cleansed through the word of God. We learn how to live a life that is right and pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And then he says, you warn us. Your word warns us of pitfalls in life that we would otherwise fall into. You know, I often, when I think about the Bible and I'm sitting and hearing preaching and I think, oh, how enriched my life has become through these wonderful stories, these stories about Jesus, stories that Jesus has told. I think, oh, I'm so glad I ever heard that. It helps me to understand life so much better and who this God is. And so he says that there are things that he warns us to stay away from, pitfalls, that he steers us around by his word. I remember in high school as a kid, I was finding the Lord. And they were telling me, my friends were saying, come on, let's do this, Ken. And hey, we're doing this and we're going out drinking here or doing that. And I didn't have to wonder, is that good? Is that okay? I knew enough of the word of God to know that those certain things I needed to stay clear from because the Bible said they were sin and they were detrimental. I didn't have to experiment with them. I was warned ahead of time, and I was able to avoid many of those pitfalls. And then he says, in keeping of them is great reward. That's a wonderful thing, too, that when we obey the word of God, there's blessing that comes into our life. We're warned and we're rewarded. And so then he says, Lord, you know, search my heart and keep me back from committing sins, presumptuous sins, cleanse me from secret sins, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I understand that's my whole purpose for living, is to be here to glorify and please God. And so I talked about these things with this family, and I said, you know, Olga must have loved the word of God, that she donated these Bibles, and you know, the word of God is a real gift to us. I said, yes, we see God in creation, and we understand him more clearly through his word. I said, but the perfect revelation of God is through Jesus Christ. I said, when you look at Jesus, when you read about Jesus, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's the purest and clearest revelation of who God is and what he's like. Who is God? Jesus. What's God like? God's like Jesus. Everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did, everything Jesus felt was a reflection of the heart of God. And so I encourage them, move on from creation and get into the Word of God and find Jesus in the Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and make you see Jesus. Praise God. And I had a very sweet time with that family, and I found out that Olga's father came over from Russia, and he got saved, and then he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke in perfect Italian the day he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then he went and he started a church in Pelham, in his home first of all, and then a storefront. And then it turns out that that church that he started was the church that Brother Ernie Waldfogel's father pastored for some time in Pelham. And then I was reading something that this woman wrote, and she was writing about her father's funeral. And I found out that Brother Frank Poster was there, and my Uncle Ralph Petraca was there, and Maurice Cudmore, one of my Bible school teachers who took over that church, was there as well. So I was writing Ernie back and forth, more and more fascinated by the connection here. But I think I was most excited about the fact that I had an opportunity to tell them that if they want to find God, look at Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so that's what we want to do while we're here at camp. Let's get a greater sight of Jesus. Just look to him every day. Lord, I love you. I want to know you, Lord. Reveal yourself to me, Jesus. And, oh, God, if you leave this place with a greater sight of Jesus than when you first came, it was worth every minute being here. Every effort that you had to put forth, all the work involved, it was more than worth it. Amen. Let's sing that chorus, more about Jesus. Do you know that? Here we go. Brother Paul.
More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his sin.
love who died for me.
More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More, more about Jesus.
Lord, open our eyes in these days to see Jesus more clearly and get a greater sight of him than we've ever had before. We know that it'll change us dramatically, Lord. And so, Jesus, we just turn our eyes to you right at the start of this period. Now cover this camp with your precious blood and set your presence upon these grounds. Keep us throughout this night. Prepare us for all that you have in store for us tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Remind the staff you have a meeting now. And for the guests, if you'd please. Exit.